Maya, why are you running for school board?
I'm running for school board because I've been very active in my kids' education. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I have three boys, six and six. And I volunteered in the classrooms since they were in preschool. I always feel very strongly that it's very important to have a good relationship with the teachers. I think teachers do a lot of work that's unseen, and one way to be able to know what's going on and what kids, my kids play with, is to be in the classrooms volunteering. On a personal level, one reason why I'm running for school board is that both of my parents didn't graduate from high school. In the Madison School District, we have a perception problem. It's one issue that I see. When most of the teachers that I know that I volunteer with found out that I was running for school board, they were like, "You've got to be crazy. Why would you do that?" And one reason why is that they have a perception that I'm very good at what I do in the classroom. I think that every kid can achieve. And one reason why I think that, and I know that, is because I was one of those kids. I was a kid who had free and reduced lunch in high school. I was a kid who came from a pretty bad background. However, I had teachers and other adults in my life that had high expectations for me. And while it took me quite a while to get a four-year degree, I did it. And I feel that every kid deserves that chance. One way to do that is to be very clear and have a transparent board that shares with the public and is not afraid to explain the entire process. I see this happening on many levels, whether it's parent involvement, whether it's how the board makes decisions for in-classroom teaching, or whether it's an issue of long-term planning, which I don't think the board is doing at all at this time.
Okay. So how do you feel your background prepares you for this role, this political role?
I think it does in a number of ways. Right. One is that I have young kids in the school system, and I want to keep them in this school system. So I'm dedicated to this district for the next 12 years. I have to live with this district for the next 12 years. Another way is that I've been very active as a stay-at-home mom and as someone who believes in many issues and has done a lot of work in coalition building and consensus building. I've worked on issues like concealed carry. I'm against concealed carry, and I've worked with various groups, coalitions against domestic violence. But I'm also not afraid to walk up to someone who is for concealed carry and have a dialogue or a discussion on why they're for it and why I'm against it. But that's really beside the point. My whole issue and my whole experience is in getting everyone involved and getting everyone to understand the issues. My background is in science. I'm a conservation biologist. Before that, I was a zookeeper. And some say that that gives you a lot of experience in dealing with schools and kids and maybe even school board members. So I'm not intimidated by conflict. And I'm also someone that's very driven by not only data, but the process of how you get the data. You learn that when you're doing field work, that you have to take everything under consideration, and that the data is really one of the last and final things that you get out of research, but it's also driven by what you've looked at, what you've questioned, and what you're trying to get out of it. And so in this whole political process, one thing I've learned is to not just focus on Madison, but look elsewhere and look at how other districts do this and do a better job. It's something that's intuitive to most parents that something's going on, that our district tends to have an attitude of crisis management. Every year, the district says we're losing money and we need to cut strings, or we need to have art teachers beg for jobs. And what that says to me is that it's not being managed with long-term goals in mind. And so I really think that we need A, someone that is a parent that's involved in their schools. And one thing I can offer that almost every other candidate can't is that I'm willing to go into each and every school every year, once a week, go into a school and live the teacher's life, because I have that advantage as being a stay-at-home mom. I will continue to volunteer in my kids' classrooms or in any capacity that the principals or teachers feel they need me as. I've done science presentations where I incorporate math and art and language and song, and I'm good at that, and I feel it's very important to have a board member that is willing to work for kids, to be in the schools, and work with the community.
Great. So what's the case, Maya? Why should we vote for you?
Well, that's a good question. I've heard rumors that, and I think that the district is driven by a lot of rumors. When you don't have transparency and you don't have a relationship with the community, you end up having a lot of rumors swirling. And I can expand on that when it comes to boundary issues. But right now, I'll say why I think someone should vote for me. One is that I am a parent in this district who is committed for a number of years, who has absolutely no ties to the current board, to MTI, to any of the power players. The only ties I have is with other parents and with the kids in the district and the teachers that know me. And I think most teachers that know me have a lot of faith in what I'm representing, which is the kids. I want what's best for the kids. I think that's very important. I think we have a lot of people on the board that are retired or have connections, but don't necessarily expand beyond their own connections. And I think we need someone on the board that does have some sort of research background or science background, that knows that data can be manipulated, and that knows that we need to have a constant feedback system. You know, years ago I was a managing editor of a medical journal, and one thing I learned is that stuff that gets published in medical journals, a lot of it does get published because it's good medicine, it's good work and research, but some of it gets published just because it's got the name of someone else in front of it. And we need to look at that and say, as a community, what is it that really we're investing in? And what we should be investing in is using the resources that we have. And that's one thing that I bring to this, is that I use the resources from all over. I use the teachers that I know. When I meet people during this campaign, I have an open mind that they are honest and that they represent something that's significant. And at this point in time, we don't have a board that does that. I think this has nothing to do with what kind of experience you have managing people. This has everything to do with what your philosophy is about education. And education should be for all kids. It should be a partnership with both parents and teachers and children and administrators. And right now, we don't have those kind of partnerships. We have the same group of parents that minority parents are having the same issues as parents that are of children that are talented and gifted. Both of them, when they go to the district and try to advocate for their kids, get stereotyped as the troubled parent. There are things that we can do in this district that are free, are cheap, and the district ignores that. We have islands of excellence. I can say as a parent that the school that my kids attend, Franklin Elementary, is a wonderful school. It is an island of excellence. The way that the school and the principal works with parents is ideal for many schools. Now, maybe not all schools, but many schools. That information doesn't get shared with the rest of the district. We have school programs in place that other schools don't know about, and that's a waste of time and money and resources. So I'm someone who on the outside may look as someone that's very liberal, and I am. I'm socially liberal, but I refuse to follow this perception or this stereotype that just because I advocate for women and kids and for the safety of communities, that I'm not fiscally conservative. I think that that's a term that we need in Madison to come to terms with and say, this is reality. And that's something that you learn from, there's a gentleman that I absolutely love, Cornel West, and he says two words, poverty educates. And I learned a lot from growing up poor, and one is that you have a certain amount of money, you need to know how much it is and how you're going to allocate it. And at this point in time, the district is not doing that. There are other districts throughout the United States that I've looked at that you can go to their website, you can understand exactly where the money is going. And we need that. We demand that as parents, that we know where every single dollar is going, because we are entrusting our kids in your system and we expect something back.
Well, Maya, what kind of advice do you have for others who might consider a candidacy in the future?
Oh, that's another great question. I'm glad you asked it, because I think that the board that we have now with, I would say, be prepared that your Monday nights are gone. But I also think that if I am elected onto the board, one thing I'm going to work on is getting the process more managed, in the sense that we don't need to pontificate from the board table. We can do that afterwards, because if you are a board member, you have access to a lot more media than the average person. And I think that knowing that, that's, you know, one of the bigger sacrifices, other than doing a lot of research in best practices on these islands of excellence, on budgeting and so forth. One thing I would like to see happen is some sort of expansion of training for school budgets for every board member, regardless of what your experience is. And that gets back to my main feeling, which is that everyone should feel welcome to run on the board. We should have elections and campaigns that have more than two people running for an elective office. And one way that you can learn about issues is going to school info systems and looking at the people that are writing in there. You can Google almost anything in the nation and learn about school reform and budgets, and become passionate about education, and then just be willing to put in a lot of time on this one thing and then do it. Right now, we have this political process where you either have to be connected to a board member and be approved, or you have to have this whole body of knowledge or experience, and or that's the perception. And I think that that's totally wrong. I think that boards are supposed to be representative of the community. I would like to see more women of color on the board, and I would like to see a more active participation of the students that are on the board. So that's my advice for folks that are running or considering running.
And how about for younger people? What sort of career advice do you have for them as they go through the school system and think about their future?
That's a great question, and that would take me a long time to answer. But I think that I have a couple ideas about this, and one is that growing up as a kid who had parents that owned a small business, I had this love of animals from the time I was probably in second or third grade. And whenever I would talk to folks about my love of animals, they'd say, oh, you need to become a veterinarian. That's what you need to do. And one thing that I do, and I've done in the past, is go into classrooms and talk to kids about animals and careers, because I was a zookeeper. And one thing I've learned over the past 43 years is that just because someone tells you that you have to do something a certain way doesn't mean that that's the right way or the only way. And animal careers is a perfect example. zookeeping is a great career. It's much more hands-on in some ways with wildlife than veterinarians are. And so one thing that I think it's very important for students to remember is follow what your passions are. I mean, that's essentially what I'm doing here. And you need to follow your passions, and you need to be that creative entrepreneurial spirit in the school system. I always tell my 9-year-old this: there are going to be times when you're going to have to study stuff that you don't like and it doesn't make sense, but that's all a part of getting your mind in shape, just like you get your body in shape to deal with the real world. The other thing that I would suggest is that never set your goals low. You have the rest of your life to become who and what you want to be, and that may take 12 years, like it did me, to get a 4-year degree. But during that time, I was a zookeeper, I was a waitress, I actually was in a car accident. You know, my son thinks that I've lived this great, crazy life, and it really wasn't the case, it's just life. And you should never give up on what your dreams are. You should always look at other adults and other people's lives and dream as big as you can. And if you end up choosing something like zookeeping, which doesn't pay a lot, over being a veterinarian, that's fine, because you're adding something to the community. We're right now in a period of time where a lot of people are thinking about Martin Luther King, and one thing he said about education is that it's not just, I'm paraphrasing, it's not just the brains, it's also the morals and standards. And so I tend to be a parent that wants my kids to learn a lot, but I also want them to give something back to their community, not because it's going to get them somewhere, but because that's what's right. And that's essentially what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to give back all that I've learned and all that I've been given, and I will work as hard as I can.
Thanks much, Maya.
Thanks a lot, Jim.